spread it around.
I keep the rules. I don't break the rules. Okay, in good standing, very good standing. How why others should be is in good standing. Okay, we're in Rambam Hilchas Tmudim Misavim Perik Vav Alach Beis, Chapter 6, Law 2. We began at the end of the last class to begin the Avoda, and we're talking about the cleaning up of the ashes, the Trumas Hadeshen, and the one who won the Trumas Hadeshen, he also arranged the logs and put the wood on top. And then, what?
It's a cliffhanger. Yes, we did.
Well, we just started. It wasn't a cliffhanger. We just started. And then they went into Lishkas HaKelim, and they brought all the kelim that they needed, and they gave to the Korban Tamid the animal to drink, and whoever's Zoich of Yishchita, he shechted
it.
Okay, and then all the other Kohanim who got to bring up the body parts were there, and they were waited until the gate opened up. And once the gate opened up, and then they could shecht it. And then, as well, there were the two Kohanim. One came in to clean out the inner altar, and one came out to clean out the menorah. So now we just caught you up on that. So now we're in Halacha Beis. V'hamidashen es ha-mizbech, and the one who cleaned out the inner altar, the mizbech hazov, midashno, now don't make a mistake and think one was after the other, midashno, he cleaned out b'shoh sha-shoicheh shoicheh es ha-tomid. At the time when the Kohen, who was merited to shecht the Korban Tamid, at the same time, the other Kohen would clean out the inner altar. And then afterwards, for acher kach zorach adam ze shekiblo, and then after that happened, in other words, the same time that the inner altar was cleaned out and the animal was shechted, then another kohen would bring the receptacle to collect the blood at that time, and then afterwards he would sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Okay, halacha gimel. V'acher shech. So you notice what's happening, as we said in last week's Parsha class. There's a very much the avoda of the shechting the korban tamid on the outer altar was very much intertwined
with the inner altar,
with the avoda that went on with the inner altar and the menorah. It's all back and forth, as we said in the parsha class,
yes,
to show that both inner and outer avoda was just as indispensable one without the other. You see, it's being played out in this intricate order of the avoda. Okay, anyway, so after we sprinkle the blood. Then the other Kohen would clean out in the Hechel five of the seven candle lamps of the menorah, would clean them out and light them as necessary. And then Veyotzim Shnei Min HaHechel. Then both of the person who was cleaning out the inner altar and the one who cleaned out and would relight those five candles would go out at the same time. And now, as that's going on, ve'elish shebeis hamitbachaim, and those in the slaughterhouse, mafshitin, they're stripping away the outer skin, umenaschin, and cutting up the animal to pieces, v'chol echad ve'echad mala aver shezochav ola kevesh, and each one of the six kohanim who merited to take the various different body parts, they bring them up to the ramp, v'noslim ha'evarim mechatsi kevesh ulamata, they would put the body parts on the bottom half of the ramp on the west side, b'maravo. Why are they leaving on the west side? Because you got to give room on the east side for other things that may potentially come up, such as v'shel musafim, it's a day where there's a korban musaf, which would be Shabbos, or would be Rosh Chodesh, or other holidays. Where are you going to put those body parts? They'd put those on the lower half of the ramp, on the eastern side of the ramp. Now that's if it would be a regular musafim, but v'shel roshei chodashim, but when it's Rosh Chodesh, and we want to be able to publicize it more, what do we do with the body parts for Rosh Chodesh? Noisin al mizbech milmal, they put it at the top of the ramp, right up, bein keren lekeren, between the two corners of the mizbeach, up where the top of the ramp touches the main part of the mizbeach, b'mokam hiluch ragle kohanim, where the kohanim would be walking over there to go around the altar. And why are we doing it up there? Kedei lafarsamo, to publicize Rosh Chodesh, that it's Rosh Chodesh. Now, as well, umochim shomas evarim, and then you also salt all the body parts. That's one of the requirements of the korbanos. And also, we have to put some more salt around. Why? Because it's getting kind of sloppy over there. They're schlepping body parts, blood's dripping all over the place, fat's dripping all the place. The last thing you want to do is see a coin slip on the kevesh and hurt himself.
But don't they have
so
proper
the zorkin melach? Remember, they're on their bare feet. The zorkin melach al gabi a kevesh a few b'shabbos. You think you have to put salt out in the winter for the snow? They put salt out on the kevesh, even on Shabbos. Why? Kidesh lo yachalik, so the kohen should not slip. That's a high kevesh. That's, what is it, 30 feet?
It's only 32 feet.
Only, okay. That's like three stories. That's quite a fall if you fall from the top of the kevesh.
I wouldn't think they'd want to walk on salt on their feet.
Well, it keeps it sturdy. They don't slip. We don't want the kohen to fall. When they are carrying ba'etzim, the wood, lamarocha, they have to put more wood for firewood over there. And that is not, now of course there is a shtickle problem. There can't be a chatzitza between their feet and the ramps and the entire mizbech. So wouldn't the salt constitute a chatzitza? There can't. Their feet have to be right on the
contact.
That's why they don't wear any shoes.
No shoes. Or socks.
Be there.
Or sandals.
Even though salt is a chatzis between their feet and the ramp. But for this particular part of the avoda, this bringing of the wood is not an avoda. They're not concerned. So there must have been a time where they would clean off the rest of the salt when they don't, we're doing other parts of odor, let's say throwing the body parts out. So I guess, you know, as it gets dirty and they need to go up just for putting more wood on, which is not a part of the avoda, that's when they'd have the salt. Yes, it'd be very complicated when the salt would be up and when the salt should not be up.
Is this kind of salt that we're used to thinking of, like you know, the salt that you put out in your ice or that kind of thing? Or
I don't know what kind of salt. I don't know.
They got it at Sobeys.
The Rambam has not told us what kind of salt it is. Like, I don't know.
It came in a bag.
Halacha Dalet. Ve'achar. Yes, sir.
Why does it say a few of the Shabbos? Why is Shabbos being put up?
Because you think it might be a malacha or something.
What kind of malacha?
Spreading.
We're just saying it's still okay on Shabbos. That's why you might have thought, what do I need? It's not part of the avoda.
You're allowed to salt your water on Shabbos.
You're not allowed to normally cause salt to dissolve on Shabbos.
How are you causing it to dissolve?
Yeah, liquid and salt and liquid. Blood and salt.
Maybe. All right, but it is to keep them from, okay, fine.
But you are.
Good. Dalit. V'acheshevanevarim lakevesh. Not one day after they bring the body parts onto the ramp. Miskatsim kulon lishkas agazis. All the kohanim go to the court of hewn stones. V'hamamuna amar lahem, and the guy in charge, who's leading the show over there, he instructs them to daven. They have to do shacharis now. Right? They started bringing the animals. That was the first thing they have to do. But now they have to daven and abridge shacharis. They say, Baruchu bracha achas. He tells them to make one bracha. And what is that bracha? They read the second bracha before the Kriya Shema. They don't psuk at a Zimra, no Karbanos, none of that. There's no time. They have a bridge davening. They say the one bracha before the Shema. They also say Vaseres Adibros, the Ten Commandments. As we already know, the Gemara and Bracha said that Chazal had always wanted the Jews to say the Ten Commandments every morning with the Shema, but we're afraid that the Sadducees would say, you're only saying the Aseres Adibros because that's the only thing that God really gave you. Everything's on Shabboloni, and therefore the Jews said, you know, and there might be Jews who won't know how to respond to that. So, okay, so we're not going to say that. But Kohanim are intelligent, and they can't get fooled. No one's going to make any mistakes. No Sadducees are getting in there. So they do it the way it's supposed to be done. It's interesting, very interesting. They've omitted other Birchas Shema, and they're putting it back. So you see that Aseres Adibros is even more important, that they're putting that in there. And then the three chapters of the Shema, which are Ushma, the first paragraph, Vayom Shema, the second paragraph, and Vayomer, and the third paragraph begins Vayomer. And then the bracha afterwards, Ve'emes V'yatsiv, which is the bracha after the Shema. And then a very abridged Shemoneh Esrei.
Yeah, I would say.
Ritzei. The 15th, was at the 17th bracha, Ritzei, right before the Modim, that our service should be acceptable. And you skip Modim, and then Vesim Shalom, because that's the whole purpose, to bring peace. And now, Ubeshabbos, where there's going to be a changing of the guards, so Mosivim bracha, they add a bracha, the outgoing group will make a bracha. The outgoing group will say to the incoming group, he who has caused his presence to dwell in this house, i.e. Hashem, Yashkin Beinechem, shall dwell between you, shall bring Ava, Achva, Shomba, Rehus, love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. And after that, Mefisim Pai Shlish Ravi. We do the third lottery and the fourth lottery still in the court of Ewan Stones. The third lottery is to determine who is going to bring the Ketores. And as the Rambam already said, that would first be with people who never won before would be in the running for that only. And if everybody has already serviced, then it's going to be open to everybody. Urevi and the fourth lottery, as who's going to be the one, according to the Rambam at least, who's the one who'll get the mitzvah of tossing in all the body parts from the ramp onto the Mizbeach? So that's the third and fourth lottery. V'zocha b'ktaris mishenach, shenzocha, the one who merited to win the ketores will be that person. V'nichlas u'machter, he goes in and he brings it, but we're jumping a little bit. It's not going to necessarily be all happening right now. V'yacher kach nichnaseh shenzocha b'dishun ha-menorah, and then afterwards goes the one who merited, who already merited to clean out the menorah, remember, he's got to take it back. Umeitiv Steineris, the one who still has to clean two of the seven lamps. And the one who brings the kedoras, he leaves with the one who cleaned out the menorah. V'oimed al mala su'ulam, and now they stand on the steps of the ulam, hu ve'echava kohanim, him and the other fellow kohanim. And again, Rambam is, you know, there's a lot of different opinions over here. If you look at the Gemara, it appears that the one bringing the Torah is the very last person of everything. Rambam seems to suggest, remember, when the Kohen brought the Ketores, there was nobody at all in the Heichal, nobody west of the Mizbeach at all. So Rambam is not being precise over it. He makes it sound like the one who brought the Ketores went out together with the fellow who cleaned out the menorah. That's not precisely what happened. Now, hey, but so the Ketores is basically done. So what have we done so far? We've slaughtered the animal. We've brought the Ketores. We've relit the menorah. We have not yet burnt the animals yet, have we? Well, no, we have burnt the animals, right? That was happened beforehand. But there's still a lot more action to go. Now we have to make an alarm for a lot of people to get ready to be in their positions. Hey, kishyegia beina ulon lizbech, when they were about to, Rama's backtracking a little bit, when they're about to enter and bring the Ketores, so they're already going to sound a warning bell, as it were. So Natal Echad, one of the Kohanim, would take Hamagrefa, a large type of instrument. Machlok, exactly what it is. Some say it's a pitchfork or a shovel or a rake, whatever. Uzraka, and would throw it. Bein ha'ulam la'mizbeach, between the ulam is the entranceway into the heichal, and the mizbeach, the altar, and it made a large noise. V'hoyela kol gadol, a great noise was made. Gemara, it seems that there were three types of magrefos, three types of rakes. One that was to clean out the ashes in the beginning. Second one was a type of musical instrument, and this third one that was thrown down to make a large noise. Now, this throwing down of this large rake served three functions of warning people about. Hashomea askoil, a person would hear that noise. Hayodea, if he was a Kohen, he knows. She'echav ha-Kohanim nichnosin lishtachavos, that the Kohanim are soon going to be able to go into the Heichal and bow down to Hashem. V'urot subo, he'd run and come. Not right now, but he's getting in position to get ready to do that. We got to wait till other things have finished, that the Ketores has totally finished at this point. And also that it rakes up other people to be aware, Uben Levi Hashumeis Kola, any Levite who's on call, who hears that noise, his brothers, the Levites, Nichnosin Ladaber Bashir, are about to sing the song. Furat Saban, he's prepared to start running and coming to take a position to do the singing. And finally, Varosh HaMamon, and the one who was in charge of making sure that everybody was there, Kishahoy, and in place, Kishahoy Shomeas, going, hear the voice, Hoyamamin Esatmeim. He would get any Kohanim who were still Tomei, specifically who were Mitzoroim, who are Tor from their Tzoras, but they still need to have Zrikas Hadam and an Osham, so they're Mechusar Korban right now. And he would collect them all up. This is a warning, get everybody ready. Al Shara Mizrach, by the Eastern Gate, by the Shar Nicanor, outside the Azor. They can't be in the Azor, no, they're Tomei. But he lines up all Kohanim who are supposed to work today, but not because they're Tomei. Why does he line them up? In order to avoid suspicions. People are going to think, what is this? There's Kohanim there are slacking off. How come they're not where everybody else, blessing the people and doing like, these guys, it's their day and they're doing nothing. But now they know at this point, any Kohen who's right by that Shar Nicanor, everyone knows, well, he's not working because he's Tomei. He hasn't finished the ritual purity. Shiedo called, everyone will know, Shadayin Lavia Kaparsim, they had not yet brought their atonement, and not to suspect that they are lazy. And then, now we bring the next job. The one who gets the winner to throw the body parts from the ramp onto the Mizbeach, he comes and does that. And once they finished and burnt all the limbs, those who are now on the steps of the ulam, again, that's between to go into the heichal over there, and they would do the birchas kohanim. And here's our beautiful picture over here, where you see we've got in the front row the people who went into the heichal bringing the ketores. Remember, there were three people involved with the ketores, right? The guy who brought the coals, the guy who was putting the ketores on. We have the guy cleaning out the menorah, and a couple other people who had some other jobs. Those are the ones in the front. They're holding their things, and they can't bless them because they're holding their items. And they got the other Kohanim who are giving the bracha, and that's at the ulam.
No talus.
What do they need a talus for? They're not leading the davening. They have big day kahuna. What else do they need? Now, what's going to happen is a beautiful symphony, as it were. A beautiful symphony. I'm trying to find...
Why? What are you looking
for? Because you don't can't do it over...
Their hands are like at their eye level.
Firstly, he can't have it. They're higher than their eye. The Kohen. No, you got to look. One's a Kohen Gadol.
He can't have it.
It's not over, and the other one's is.
They're not over there.
Well, whatever. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be over their heads.
But aren't they supposed to point this way? Yeah, but they do it like that.
Okay, I'm not getting into those details. Anyway, what you want to know what's happening over here is that these are where the Kohanim, the ones we just discussed, they're on the steps here between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. They're blessing the people. Right. On the other side, in a moment, we're going to have the Levim, who are on the steps over here, and they're going to
instrumentation
singing and blowing trumpets and everything. You're getting surround sound, so to speak. The Kohanim blessing from one side, these people,
the Levim,
then you're going to have people in the Ezras Yisrael. Remember, this line over here,
it's a fine line.
The Israelites can stay, they don't cross over the line.
So the Israelites
are going to be here, and they're going to be bowing down shortly.
Not much room for a lot of people.
Bigger than this half an inch.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's a lot bigger. There's a lot of room for people over there. Okay, so that's coming up. It's all exciting stuff coming up. So everyone's getting prepared over here. It's coming up. It's coming up. All right, so now they're Mevarchim Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so Bracha Achas, one Bracha. They didn't break it up because it's B'Shem HaMefarish, using Hashem's holy name. And therefore, we don't say Kenyahi Ratzon, Amen. We don't say any of that stuff. It's one straight through. Kamoshi Baram, as we explained, in its place. Now that they've made the bracha for the Jews, V'achigach malin sols and sochem. Now we have to bring, there's a few more people in that parade who brought things on the kevesh, and one was the fine flour nesech mixed with the oil is burnt. V'achar ha-solos, and after the flour is burnt, makter chavitin, we bring the milchas chavitin, which was the Kohen Godol's mincha. V'achar chavitin, after Kohen Godol's chavitin, malin es hayalin, so we bring the wine for the libation, which is now the... What do you want to call it? The crescendo, the apex.
Well, that's when they started to strike out the band.
Everything's raiding now for this last part. Okay? And Uvishas Anisich, and in a moment we're going to describe it. But as the Kohen, either it's the Kohen Gadol if he chooses to be the one doing it, or a regular Kohen was doing it, as the wine is being poured in the holes in the southwest side of the Mizbeach, and maybe we got a picture over here.
Ooh.
Maybe. Oop, get it upside down. Can't find nothing if I go upside down.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm going to show you the picture. You're looking for this handsome fellow who's carrying the wine. He's going to be going over in this little holes over there, a little thing with a hole, and that's where he's going to pour it slowly. And before I give away the book, I want you to look at the next picture afterwards. Because the next picture afterwards is a coin there with a flag. See, there's the coin with the wine over there. You'll see when you pass around. He's going to wave the flag when the coin starts to spill the wine into the hole. And that awakens all these Levim over here. They got the trumpets. And we'll see in a minute these guys are lighting them. And then you got the Jews prostrating themselves.
They're a little too close.
Yeah, whatever. It's not 100%
perfect. They got to back up.
But these maybe could be some other Kohan. I don't know. It's not exactly perfect because it should have been more tight
side.
Over there.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are the two pictures you could look at while I read on.
Can I ask a question first?
Yes, sir.
Evan Shatsiya, is that part of...
Evan Shatsiya is where the Kodesh Kedoshim is. We're not involved with that right now. We're not involved. No one's going over there except the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay, where am I up to now? Okay, so he's going to get ready for this. Okay, umakin hamishayrin. Now there were musicians who hit b'minei nigun shabamikdash with different utensils of musical instruments on base of mikdash. V'toikin teisha tekios al pirkasher. They're going to blow 9 trumpet blasts in during the shir that is being sung, which we're not up to yet. He's just leading us up. What's happening? But we're backtracking it a little bit. Now, Kesha, how you know, when they gave the wine to the Kohen, who's going to pour the libation. But he's not yet poured it. He has it. He's going to now move to the left. He's going across from right to left, from the southeast corner, up the ramp to the southwest corner. So he's getting ready. Remember, there was a table, 2 tables, as you see, to the west of the Mizbech. 2 tables right over here, and 2 Levites are going to stand up with trumpets in a minute. They're going to blow a little, and then they're going to move around over here. They're standing on the tables. The tables, quote-unquote, of the fats. And we said there were 2 tables over there. One was to put the fats there, and one was to put different utensils over there. And 2 trumpets in their hands. This is just all part of the warning system again. It's not the actual tekios that we were chayiv in the Beis HaMikdash. V'haskan, and the assistant, he's on the corner. That's a picture of the corner over there. He's up there. He's in a high place where everybody could see him when he waves the flag. There's flags in his hands. And now these Kohanim that are on the 2 tables over there, they do a tekiah, true a tekiah, and that was just to get everybody ready. Because now we're mamish holding otot. Be any moment now, take your places, because very soon the wine's going to be poured. Then those 2 Kohanim, they moved back out in front in the picture there you see in front of the Levim, where you see you got the Mamuna and 2 guys to his right, one to his right, one to his left. Ubo, v'amdu eitzel zeh ha-mamuna ala tzilzel. They went over the one who was appointed over the cymbals. Echad mimino, one to his right, v'echad nisvon, one to his left. And they're ready to blow shortly. The next blowing. The first blowing was just to get everybody ready. Zion. Now, when the person was pouring, there is a whole Shir Shalyom. It's the Psalm of the day. Psalm of the day especially when you're singing it, is going to take a bit of time.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry?
Even Friday?
Sure.
What do you mean, even Friday?
Sure.
But they're still singing.
I know.
And so anyway, so he has to pour slowly because, you know, he could theoretically do it in 3 seconds. Just pour it out.
No, it's
got slow. So as he's pouring and as
it's
going down
commercial.
To the bottom, they're singing. It's a very long, long procedure over here. So now, Shaw HaMenasech, the one who pouring was delaying, meaning doing it very slowly, the Nasech. And once he starts to pour, Indy 500, Meini Vaskan Vasudorim, the guy in charge, he's waving the flags.
Yeah.
Hiki says, oh, boom! They hit it once.
What, it hit what?
The symbols.
The symbols, in case they don't see the flags. So they're doing that.
V'taku
elu b'chatzos, and they're going to blow the chatzosos. V'dibra levim, Shir and levim are going to sing their song. Okay, now, what happened was the following.
Uh-oh.
What they would sing during the Yom, they would stop in three places. And every time they stopped, they do a third, and a third. Every time they stopped in a third, they'd then blow Tkiah, Trua, Tkiah. And then three more times. So you'd have nine blowings. So there's a lot going on. You're singing with music, the Shir Shel Yom, stopping three times, and blowing Tkiah, Trua, Tkiah three times for nine times. All while the wine is being poured. So it's a very concerted effort over here.
Slow pour.
And as the shofar blows,
Vishtachavu
kolam bazara, all the Israelites are bowing down in the Azara. Not exactly as you see in the picture, because in that picture they're way too close to the Mizbeach. Remember, there's the line.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they shouldn't be on the other side over there.
Definitely
this side.
Not.
So you got the Levim over here on the steps here. So better picture would be to put them somewhere over there with a little space by them. Is better.
They're behind Levim?
Yeah.
They're in front. Well, it depends what you want to call them. Levim are facing this way. They're facing this way. The Kohanim before were blessing people this way. And the Jews were over here. And now they're going to bow down. To the Levim,
front of the Levim.
I don't know what they're doing. I'm not sure.
But they're bowing down away from the Kohanim.
The Kohanim on the other side.
See, isn't this the line right here?
Kohanim over there.
There's no room.
Kohanim are over here.
Yes,
they already got the blessings. Those blessings are done.
No, but their backs are to the Kohanim. Is what
the Kohanim could be done by now.
Oh, okay.
They gave them the blessing. I don't know if they're still there. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They now are bowing down.
Doing it to their Kohanim, not Levim?
Levim are blowing. The Levim are in charge of music. Kohanim in charge of blessing. Blowing, just blowing. They're just blowers. But they're not the musicians. They're blowing shofars. They're getting people ready. But the real instrumentation was Levim, right? You see, look, all these trumpets over here. These are Levim that are blowing over there. And then they bow down.
And
everyone, okay? So again, Shabazar, I'll call Perek Tkiah. For every break, there's the blowing of three notes. Every time there's a blowing, they bow down. And the total number of blowings for Korban Tamid was nine. Kimo Shamarnu, as we have said. And this would be a good place to stop.